Blog Talk Radio. On behalf of Omi Inca's Man 2 production, we'd like to thank you for traveling on the journey with her and the journey of the class agent. We'd like to also invite you to participate and partake of the healing process of consuming the poetry which was intended for healing women in recovery. We also like to invite you to also tune in for future poems that have been written for the sole purpose of women in recovery. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and may you find your destiny as Sherelle seeks to find her destiny.
Alafia, and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 in the house. I am your advisor and your empress. Welcome back to another segment of Working with the Month of April. This is National Poetry Month, ladies and gentlemen, and Omi wants to alert everyone to be sure that you involve yourself with reading a poem from your favorite author or go and write your own poetry. Or maybe even come on my show. You're welcome. You're welcome to call in at 646-478-0270 and be a guest on my show as we recite poetry. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we will be featuring a special segment. We're going to go to our special book that we normally read from periodically. We're going to read from the passages, and we're going to also give you information from the African American literature book. That is the book that I taught from when I was in school. It was for my sixth graders, so it's good enough for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to introduce you to poetry, narratives, short stories. We're going to involve you with breaking down the types of sonnets and looking at the narratives, finding out how to contrast, understanding how to do character comparison. Tonight we're going to start off with Tony Cad Bamber. This story is about Raymond's Run. And our objective, ladies and gentlemen, our aim, is to demonstrate an understanding of the characters and even the short stories we're going to look at. We're going to recognize the direction and indirect methods of characterization. We're going to look at characters to also tell you we're going to try to understand the difference between the formal and informal language in the story. I want you to listen for that. And to write a paragraph later on, you're going to want to write a paragraph after you read this story. And we're going to recreate the voice of the character, ladies and gentlemen, by interpreting the passage in the story. And we're going to make this relevant to your life so you can relate it to experiences of nonfiction characters that you've already read about and related to stories you've read in the past. This is a great story, and I'd like to start you off by letting you know that I am a poet, and we will be taking intervention to intrigue you with some of my poetry. So stay tuned. Let me bring you into one of the poetry. Have you read the book?
Have you read the book? The Metaneter, the Hoosier today. Have you read every word that they have to say? From volume 1 to volume 2, have you discovered the hidden treasures which they hold for you? You must embrace the comedic teaching and not only preaching and the way that we used to be, with respect, reverence, and love, knowing that the greatest is love. You must learn to reject the prejudice in exchange for respect. In the comedic teaching, it was brought only 7 personalities to be taught. Have you read the books? The Metaneter, the Hoosier, today. Have you read every word that they have to say? Now let this mind of the comedic be within you, which was also in the netter too. So no man will ever attempt to offend you. You must read line upon line and precept upon precept, not from one prophet, nor from one preacher, but sit down to let the netter be your teacher. Now from the age of the Sphinx, no matter what you heard or what you think, man must master his lower half by reaching back into his past. Other people have adopted our history while leaving us with a mystery. After you've read all the books, there will be no need for you to look, because the answers will all be located there in the book. Now may the circle never be unbroken, And these very words that I have spoken be held as a token, and may the netter be satisfied as she sets us aside to be sanctified.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And you have your Omiika here live today. This is National Poetry Month. We will be featuring various different poets. And initially tonight I wanted to feature something from Nika Giovanni, but I'm going to leave that possibly for tomorrow. But I would like to intrigue you with going out to get Raymond's Run, and that book is by Tony Cad Bamber. Let me tell you a little bit of the introduction of the story. Tony Cad Bamber wrote this story, and she created a character in this story that I think you'd like to know about. And there are two characters that I'd like to tell you about in the story, and one of them is Raymond. And also in the story, Bamber, Squeaky is in the story. Squeaky is Raymond's sister. And Raymond is a child that has exceptional needs, and Squeaky is so protective of Raymond, but she likes to go around in the community. She likes to entertain, listening to various different lectures from Father Divine during this time, the Rastafarians, the Muslims. She also liked to listen to the Unionists, the Communists, the Pan-African groups, and she was a Garveyite. However, she went through the community as if she knew exactly where she was going. She carried Raymond with her. And oftentimes, Raymond was teased. Now, she also talked about there was two favorite types of ladies in the community that she loved. One was called the type of Miss Naomi and Miss Gladys. These women oftentimes trained the women of the community and taught them very well and made sure they learned their culture. However, Raymond was a little bit slow and had some challenging problems, which she did not want the community to know. So she oftentimes compensated for him and covered him and made she became a codependent of him, in other words. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I will tell you enough to intrigue you to get you to go out and get this book. You want to go out and get this book. Now, I'm going to ask you, once you've read the book, to do some comparison and contrast the characters of Raymond and Squeaky and be able to come back and tell me the difference in what their characters were. Now, their vocabulary words there, but I want to motivate you. I want to motivate you by telling you that there is a plot in the story, and you need to find it. And I want you to begin to look at stories this way where you contrast them. And what I mean by contrasting, look at their personalities. How are they alike and how are they different? Okay? Now, and why does Squeaky have to keep an eye on Raymond? Why? While he's walking down Broadway. What's the meaning of this? What's going on Broadway? And how does Squeaky feel about Cynthia, the proctor? And when you read the story, read it out aloud, okay? And look at some of the things and find out, you know, what is this about Squeaky that people like and or don't like? Find and read the passage in which Squeaky describes herself racing. And why does she describe herself in this manner? And why does Squeaky think that Raymond will make a good runner? Squeaky is a runner. That is her skill. Now all of a sudden she wants to make Raymond a runner. Would you be able to come back and talk to me about why Squeaky thought Raymond was a runner? And what are Squeaky's new plans at the end of the story? Go and read the story, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to give the whole story away, but that is our feature story for the day. Tony Cad Bamber, Raymond Run. If you look at a narrative, you should be able to come back and give passages in it and address the different levels of ability. Now, some of you have different levels of ability. Some of you are good readers. Some of you are challenged readers. However, when you read, take the time to look for various things. I want you to be able to respond to selections and identify facts. Why is Raymond called Squeaky's little brother, even though he's bigger than she is? Who is Georgia? And who is Squeaky's strongest competitor in the May Day dance or May Day race? And what does Squeaky practice as she walks down Broadway. What is she practicing? And what does Squeaky dream about before the race? Now, remember, Squeaky is the runner and not Raymond. But Squeaky seems to think that Raymond would be a better runner than her. I want you to be able to talk about that. I want you to interpret the meaning. Why is Squeaky so protective of her brother Raymond? Let me give you some clues. Raymond is retarded, ladies and gentlemen, and some people tend to abuse him by making fun of him or stealing his money. That's what's happening. Do you admire her for defending him? Would you admire her for doing that when she meets with Gretchen and her friends? Would you admire her? Now, it says, I'm to ask you this, would you admire her? And I want you to think about that. And what is Squeaky's attitude towards pretty clothes and dancing? How does she feel? Well, the book says Squeaky thinks that it makes no sense for a poor family to spend money on dresses that will be worn only on special occasions. She doesn't care about dancing because she expresses herself through running. So she doesn't care about dressing up and dancing. Do you think this attitude will change later on, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I think it did, because Squeaky will probably become interested in clothes when she becomes interested in dating boys. That's right. And young people, I want you to gather around. This is expressively for those middle schoolers and high schoolers. So I hope you're sitting around to understand what I'm talking about in this story. And she may also retain her interest in athlete as well as boys. So she's going to change, ladies and gentlemen. She won't stay this way, boys and girls. And why do you think racing is so important to Squeaky? What brought her into racing? Well, when I read the story, it said running is her special talent. Unlike Cynthia, she doesn't take piano lessons, and she's not a whiz at lessons. She has to study hard for the spelling bee and for mathematics tests. She takes pride in being the best runner in the neighborhood. So that's a thing, running. And why does Squeaky call Cynthia Proctor Phony? Proctor Phony. Cynthia is not honest about her feelings, and she's not honest about herself. She likes to give the impression that things come easy to her and that she doesn't have to practice. That's why she calls her Proctor Phony. And what does her irritation as Cynthia shows about herself? What's the irritation she has about her? Now, as I was reading, it says Squeaky respected people who are honest and who will admit that they need to work hard to achieve their goals. But she didn't respect Cynthia because she was a phony. And do you think Squeaky is as tough as she claims to be? Consider her decision about Raymond and her feelings about Gretchen. At the end of the story, you'll find it says, Squeaky is a caring person who has a big heart. She wants to do something for the brother, Raymond, who has nothing to call his own. And she has learned to respect and admire Gretchen, who is serious about running. That's a bit of her characteristics. I want you to look for others. What changes can you see in Squeaky at the end, after the race? I want you to be able to talk to me about that. I'll tell you a few of the changes I saw. Squeaky is growing up. Winning the race is no longer the most important thing in her life now. If she lost the race, or even if she had won it, she realizes that the time has come to turn to other things. She begins making plans to take piano lessons, would you believe it? And to study harder so that she can excel in many different ways. Why do you think the story called Raymond the Runner? Why? Well, at the end, ladies and gentlemen, it says the title calls attention to the change in Squeaky. She is no longer self-centered, and she is thinking about doing something for her brother, not just herself. She inadvertently made Raymond the Runner and gave that skill up to him and started researching boys and spending her time at learning to dance and do other things, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what happens to the middle schoolers. They're fickle. And when they get to a stage where they want to start doing other things, they jump on top of many things and become multitasked. That's right. And then they think they may be ADD or something because they're doing so many tasks and can't schedule themselves appropriate. And in the end, they wind up not being so gung-ho about all those things you would think that they would die for. They change in midstream. And that's what teenagers do. And that's what middle schoolers do as well. And if you're listening out there, young people, it's okay, because you must have a multiplicity and a plethora of interest for all kinds of things. But most of all, you must have character. As we were teaching, Squeaky had character, and she respected people who had character and who were honest. And she respected Gretchen. And she also wanted to find something for Raymond to do that he could hold on to. She had a big heart. Now, I'm talking to you middle schoolers out there. I know who you are. I used to teach sixth grade. I know who you are. And I know you're having these same challenges. And with this story, maybe it will help you to understand that change is good. Making transition is good. Make sure you're making good decisions about transitioning into your lifestyle, because you will have many lifestyles. And ladies and gentlemen, on that note, I'd like to thank you listeners for listening to the story, Raymond's Run. And that you can find in a library under Tony Cad Bamber. Look it up and be a good reader. We will have another story for you tomorrow that we're going to work on, and that is going to be for my sister Molly, who's in the 50s. Alice Walker, you can go out and get that book and be ready to challenge me and call in to talk about it. So go out and get that short story and call in tomorrow and be a part of this listening show. Now, right now, we are going to continue with our rituals. We will never leave our rituals out. And I've made a promise that I will try to intervene as much as I can. We have shortened our show, if you haven't realized that. And now we're going to take time out to set aside the candle for my mother's spirit. I set aside the candle for my father's spirit. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit. I pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit. I light a candle for my mother's spirit. And I light a candle for my father's spirit. I pour libation to the west. And I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north. And I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south. And I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east. And I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west. And I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to greet my ancestors with a stale face. I must wash my face. And in like manners, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to continue on by calling your ancestors, calling their names. I call my mother's side of the family, Clara Jenkins. I call Essie Lee Pope. I call Isa Lilly, I call Eugene Lilly, I call Tommy Pete Harvey, I call Eugene Marvin Jenkins, I call Robert Jenkins, and I say Ashe. And I say Ashe, thank you for allowing us to climb up on your backs, and thank you for allowing us to stand on your shoulders. We pray that the families will be blessed here today. We pray that they will go into literacy and go into it with the thirst and the desire. We pray that each one of these youngsters who are gathered around the room today will spend their time listening to poetry, reading narratives, and finding solutions in their stories, and that they will travel and take trips through literature, and that they may be enriched through literature. Allow me to be a vessel which will usher them in to the challenge to learn to read. I ask the question, do you care to read? I've answered the question, and I ask you to answer the question, to come on into the Care to Read room. And ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to intrigue you with another one of our poems that has especially been written for the youngsters out there, Where Are My Root Stem? Join me.
Where My Root Stem, arranged by the author Sherelle Omeika Bidiako Garth. brown-skinned, long-legged skinny girl, running around in your Afro curl. You were transplanted from a place called the hoods to out in the suburban backwoods. You grew up in a place called Gary, Indiana, with a backyard view off the avenue. No, you weren't nurtured in the urban woods, but rather in the ghetto hoods. Your name was changed from Sherry May to what it is today. Can you still remember where the house stood? Those were the days when it was all good, with handprints and names engraved on sidewalks, to picnicking long after dark in the park. Now on to Tarleton High for the basketball event, to downstates on the buses we all went. At the playground was the place to be. That is, if you ever wanted to find me. This is where my roots stem. This is where my roots stem. Across the street was a chili bowl restaurant, with guys and girls hanging out trying to front. Courting rooms and boyfriends, too, with no chance for nothing left to do. To coming home late, to sitting up in parked cars with your date. Parents sitting up late waiting to debate about your being late. I can never remember doing the WAP. The only dances back then were called the BOP. The Chicago style and the Philly too. These were the dances that were required of you. To guys turning ladies by the knees and someone yelling out, "Oh, stop, will you please?" Now on to sock hops and long lunches, and loading up in crowded cars by the bunches, skipping schools to go to the beaches, trying to avoid the subjects of the boring teachers. This is where my roots stem. Oh, yes, I remember now. This is where my roots stem. You can't take them away from me, for I'll plant myself right where I'll be. Then someone will spring up just like me.
Yes, I know someone will spring up just like me. A little change in the plan. Initially, I had intended to read you poems from Nikki Giovanni, but I think I'm going to read you some poems directly from Maya Angelou. This may be fitting for you, and I've been reading it throughout the year, The Black Family Pledge. It's been written by Maya Angelou. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling in perilous underground, our children cannot hear us crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity within our gates and hold up the mirror of the world shouting, "Regard the loneliest." Therefore, we pledge to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace the loneliest, to keep company with the loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, and to clothe our ragged, and to do good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. I honor those words today, in toil and in perilous, God with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopeless desolation. We make this pledge today. We pledge today to honor our mothers and our fathers. We pledge today to open our minds, to seek and learn new knowledge. Our minds, our body, and the words we speak are clean. Young children, pledge to honor your mothers and fathers and obey your teachers, and decree that you will excel at everything you touch and have interest in everything, just like Squeaky did, just like Raymond did, and search out a variety of things to do, such as dancing, wearing pretty dresses, and engaging yourself. Don't have a one-track mind. Always be willing to open up and learn new things, and don't be stuck on frozen viewpoints. And this message is for the young people out there today. I hope you're listening, young people. You can call in anytime, 646-478-0270. This is National Month of Poetry, and I want you poets out there who claim to know how to throw down and rap to call in, because Omi's challenging you today to give us a poem. Now let's go on to second part of Where My Roots Stem. I'd like for you youngsters to challenge me go through, break down this poem, and come back and be ready to talk about it. Where My Roots Stem, Part 2.
Saturday morning, Dairy Queens, Dilly Bars, and ice cream. While listening to Mama Scream, boys and girls, come on over here and get a taste of this cream. Late afternoon movies with guys giving up high fives saying, boy, that movie sure was groovy. From busing students in every cardinal direction, while looking back, it's a mere reflection of the struggle to force integration, which wasn't such an overwhelming sensation. They killed a boy the first day of school because the institution broke the golden rule, thou shall not integrate, for it's far too late. To wearing dashikis and tie-dyes and guys dressed in tailor-made suits while riding around in their deuce. To wearing comeback boots and alpaca sweaters and pants made of leather to brothers faking it in their pleather. Mini skirts and go-go boots and girls dressed in their walking suits. Christians waking up, being born again, converting to Islam, trying to avoid sin, saying God is the greatest, chanting these words were now the latest. To guys who were once on lockdown, now pushing final calls all over town. With graduation night now approaching, to guys taking up lessons in coaching. After graduating as scholar, I had to stand back to take a breath to holler, it's now time to make a dollar. Now with the community on a hype, while pushing students off the college to avoid the pipe. From Club Zodiac to the Blue Room swinging, to 11 girls on stage singing. These were the Mitchell Singers with a makeshift band of brothers all swinging, to singing all over town, representing mothers singing. For chicken dinners while trying to win souls and sinners, with the waiter giving us a hassle while trying to eat at White Castle, to eventually having to eat out at Hardee's after the skating party. And brothers hanging on every street corner, giving up knowledge and pointers, to having all-night luau's at the Lure while dancing to a tune of a Louie Louie. To Jezebels on Broadway corners, foxed up like some guys want them. This is where my roots stem. Oh, yes, this is where my roots stem. I can remember now. You can't take them away from me, for I'll plant myself right where I'll be. Then someone, oh yes, someone will spring up, I know, just like me.
Just like me, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I used to be a youngster once, and I wanted my visibility to be all over the city of Gary, Indiana. So all the things that I took for granted and loved so much, like the Lure, my skating ring, 12 and 20, like going out to Tolleson Park to picnic. These are all landmarks here in Gary that I love so well. I plan to dedicate these poems to our local library so the children will never forget that there was a foundation here in the city of Gary. That's right, Gary is a foundation for many people, just like Michael Jackson. That was born here. It was his foundation, and there were some good things to be had here. We did local things. Going to the park and being able to picnic in the park was a normal thing without gunshots all over the place, and the picnic grounds were filled with people. Tolleson Park is a landmark. Going over to the Lure, I met Mr. Lure. He was there standing there ready to vote, 90 years old, not knowing that he combined food and sandwiches and gave them to children and made us a rich people for being able to hang out at the Lure and go to the 12 and 20 skating ring. That's right. We put our handprints on sidewalk to let people know that we were once there and that we will always be there and our spirit will be left there. Young children, you are to reinvent yourself. Teenagers, reinvent yourself. Take the baton. Extend your hand and take the baton. Elders, put your hand out and extend the baton to those youngsters. Tell them about their good heritage. It wasn't always bad growing up in the urban city. There were some good things about growing up in the good cities, like all of the outskirts areas. It was some good things, the music, the singing, the joyfulness that we had, like those 11 girl singers were me and my 10 sisters. We were the Mitchell singers. We made up the groups when Michael Jackson was singing. We did the talent show. That's right, and my brother swinging. We were out at the Blue Room swinging, over at the Zodiac swinging, because this was our territory. Talk about your environment. Talk about your life and what you did to make a rich life. Don't be ashamed wherever you go. Take a bit of your spirit from your hometown with you. Always be ready to tell of the hope of glory that's within you that came from your hometown. Can anything good come up out of Gary? Yes, it can. I came up out of Gary, and I'm that good thing. There is a bomb in Gilead. Talk about these urban cities. Revamp them. Relive them. As we bring about the inner city stories, we want to make them alive and make literature alive to you young people so that you have a book in one hand and a basketball in the other. So you read and intrigue your mind. And for you young girls who are always reading, get your young men to reading. Show them the glory and the blessing in learning to read good stories, because they help give you examples for your life, ladies and gentlemen. And mothers, if your children's not reading enough, take them to the library, get them involved, and ask them if they care to read. This is the month that we're going to do it up kind of proper like, and we're going to reinforce that care to read billboard up there. We're not going to only ask them if they care to read. We're going to take them to the library, make sure that they're reading and reciting poetry. Do you not know you can find yourself singing, writing lyrics, traveling all over the world? Omi had an opportunity because of my singing, not because of my master's degree, because of that mere singing aptitude that I developed at an early age. It took me all over Germany and Berlin, and we went behind the walls and performed on television, ladies and gentlemen. Had the greatest opportunity. Had I stayed there, you wouldn't have me here now. I would be a gospel singer somewhere. It's opportunities for you through literacy. I know this because I've had the opportunities. I've been a professional in singing and still could go back if I had the time to brushing up my singing. However, you don't stop, young people. Keep singing. Keep developing yourself through reading good literature. I'm going to bring the good literature to you, so you don't have to worry. Tomorrow you're going to be studying about Alice Walker for my sister Molly, who is in the 50s. Get that story. Read it. Be ready to come in here and challenge Omi and to talk about it, because I want to intrigue you to read. Riff didn't train me for nothing. I'm making good on the investment that they put in me to become a literacy coach. I hope that I'm intriguing you teachers out there. I see you all over the continent. You ought to be talking to your children about literacy, about expressing themselves, articulating, learning a second language. Why am I saying this? When you hear me read the African Yoruba language, that is one of the languages, but I intend to go on like my son did and become fluent in German and speak it to the point where I can pick up another language. Once you pick up one language, you can pick another one up very easy. Make sure your children are diversified in the languages as well as reading. Now, the story I just read you that we read periodically, most of you didn't know that that was Maya Angelou's writing. Be able to determine the narrative's writing and their style. Look at their character and be able to detect and contrast and compare. We're going to be doing a lot of that. No, I'm not an English teacher. I don't even profess to be, but I love language, as you can see, and I will be bringing it to you. You best to believe that. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and be on top of your game. If you say poetry is your game, then bring it on in here, because I'm definitely going to challenge you on it. Stay tuned for station identification.
If I only had one wish, that wish was
and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for going all the way with the OMI today, and we'd like to feature your stories again tomorrow. We're calling all the young people in, as well as the adults. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity to recite your poetry. I am a poet, and I'm inviting all those international poets in. No erotic poetry right now because we're entertaining the children. However, I used to run the room Slip Into the Gap, and most of you who were out on Pal Talk knew me and knew the room I had was more of a spiritual meditation room. This particular segment of the month, we are going to feature all short stories. If you're a folkloid out there, I'm a bit of a storyteller myself, so I'd like to invite you in to bring your original stories and bring the ones you want to read by somebody else. You might even want to go out and go on lulu.com and download my book and get some of the poems and recite some of my poetry. I even challenge you to it. I'm a storyteller. Yes, they are long stories. I tell epics. And most of my stories are about people that I know, and I love to write, so that is part of what I do. And if you think you can come in and challenge the emperor, come on, bring it, baby, bring it on, because it's happening and it's on this week and this month, because we're in our lane this time, and we're going to be talking about storytelling. And that young man I talked to you about, Olaboni, who is also a storyteller, we're going to try to get him on here. He is an expert, professional expertise, I would add. And if we can get him on here, we'd be doing 101. And I'd like to also say we're going to get something on about Langston Hughes, the poetry someone requested. So we're going to be bringing on all sorts of storytelling and poetry and probably some plays. And what you've been hearing in the background, ladies and gentlemen, you might not know this, but we have a bit of a crew that are entertainers, and most of us have been trained in doing playwrights. So we're going to do some plays in here, some sitcoms, and you might recognize some of the voices, but I tell you this much, Melvin is going to be back with us, and Tony Roney will be back too. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss those characters and come in and voice your opinion. We don't want to do this show alone. We're hoping to have some guests to come on, and they will entertain us, I know, but it's best when my crew call in at 646-478-0270. So pick up those phone lines and make sure you call in. I'd like to see them lighting up tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, at the same time. And I'd like to say baba booey to you, y'all, and oh, double.
On behalf of OMI Inca's Man 2 production, we'd like to thank you for traveling on the journey with her in the journey of the class agent. We'd like to also invite you to participate and partake of the healing process of consuming the poetry which was intended for healing women in recovery. We also like to invite you to also tune in for future poems that have been written for the sole purpose of women in recovery. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and may you find your destiny as Sherelle seeks to find her destiny.
Oh, double. And for those of us who will be alone tonight, for those of us who will be alone tonight, I hope you'll find your love. And if you got somebody in your life, oh, be glad you've got a love. And don't let the games that people play rob you of the dreams you're dreaming of. You've got to use your head, and I wish you love. And above all else, I wish you love. I wish you love. I'm out of here, people. Oh, double.